Topic 35, Death, Sequence of Events. 1. I feel that the best that I can do in order to clarify this subject more completely is to describe the sequence of events which happen at a deathbed, reminding you that the points of final abstraction are 3 in number. The head for disciples and initiates, and also for advanced mental types, the heart for aspirants, for men of goodwill, and for all those who have achieved a measure of personality integrity and are attempting to fulfill, as far as in them lies, the law of love, and the solar plexus for the undeveloped and emotionally polarized persons. All I can do is to tabulate the stages of the process, leaving you to accept them as an interesting and possible hypothesis awaiting verification, to believe them without question because you have confidence in my knowledge, or to reject them as fantastic, unverifiable, and of no moment anyway. I recommend the first of the 3, for it will enable you to preserve your mental integrity. It will indicate an open mind, and at the same time, it will protect you from gullibility and from narrow-mindedness. These stages, therefore, are 1. The soul sounds forth a word of withdrawal from its own plane, and immediately an interior process and reaction is evoked within the man upon the physical plane. A. Certain physiological events take place at the seat of the disease, in connection with the heart, and affecting also the 3 great systems which so potently condition the physical man, the bloodstream, the nervous system in its various expressions, and the endocrine system. B. A vibration runs along the natus. The natus are, as you well know, the etheric counterpart of the entire nervous system, and they underlie every single nerve in the entire physical body. They are the agents par excellence of the directing impulses of the soul, reacting to the vibratory activity which emanates from the etheric counterpart of the brain. They respond to the directing word, react to the pull of the soul, and then organize themselves for abstraction. C. The bloodstream becomes affected in a peculiar occult manner. D. A psychic tremor is established, which has the effect of loosening or breaking the connection between the nadis and the nervous system, and the etheric body is thereby detached from its dense physical sheath, though still interpenetrating every part of it. 2. There is frequently a pause at this point of a shorter or longer period of time. This is allowed in order to carry forward the loosening process as smoothly and as painlessly as possible. This loosening of the nadis starts in the eyes. This process of detachment often shows itself in the relaxation and lack of fear which dying persons so often show. They evidence a condition of peace and a willingness to go, plus an inability to make a mental effort. It is as if the dying person, still preserving his consciousness, gathers his resources together for the final extraction. 3. The organized etheric body, loosened from all nervous relationship through the action of the nadis, begins to gather itself together for the final departure. It withdraws from the final extremities towards the required door of exit and focuses itself in the area around that door for the final pull of the directing soul. A dual attractive process is at this stage going on. A. The vital body is being prepared for exit. B. The physical body is responding to dissolution. It might be added that a third activity is also present. It is that of the conscious man withdrawing his consciousness steadily and gradually into the astral and mental vehicles, preparatory to the complete abstraction of the etheric body when the right time comes. The man is becoming less and less attached to the physical plane and more withdrawn within himself. In the case of an advanced person, this process is consciously undertaken, and the man retains his vital interests and his awareness of relationships to others, even while losing his grip on physical existence. In old age, this detachment can be more easily noted than in death through disease, and frequently the soul or the living, interested inner man can be seen losing his grip on physical and therefore illusory reality. 4. Again a pause ensues. This is the point where the physical element can at times regain its hold upon the etheric body, if that is deemed desirable by the soul, if death is not part of the inner plan, or if the physical elemental is so powerful that it can prolong the process of dying. This elemental life will sometimes fight a battle lasting for days and weeks. When, however, death is inevitable, the pause at this point will be exceedingly brief, sometimes only a matter of seconds. The physical elemental has lost its hold, and the etheric body awaits the final tug from the soul, acting under the law of attraction. 5. The etheric body emerges from the dense physical body in gradual stages and at the chosen point of exit. When this emergence is complete, the vital body then assumes the vague outline of the form that it energized, and this under the influence of the thought form of himself, which the man has built up over the years. This thought form exists in the case of every human being, and must be destroyed before the second stage of elimination is finally complete. We will touch upon this later. Though freed from the prison of the physical body, the etheric body is not yet freed from its influence. There is still a slight rapport between the two, and this keeps the spiritual man still close to the body just vacated. That is why clairvoyants often claim to see the etheric body hovering around the deathbed or the coffin. Still interpenetrating the etheric body are the integrated energies, which we call the astral body and the mental vehicle, and at the center there is a point of light which indicates the presence of the soul. 6. The etheric body is gradually dispersed as the energies of which it is composed are reorganized and withdrawn, leaving only the pranic substance which is identified with the etheric vehicle of the planet itself. This process of dispersal is, as I have earlier said, greatly aided by cremation. In the case of the undeveloped person, the etheric body can linger for a long time in the neighborhood of its outer disintegrating shell, because the pull of the soul is not potent and the material aspect is. Where the person is advanced and therefore detached in his thinking from the physical plane, the dissolution of the vital body can be exceedingly rapid. Once it is accomplished, the process of restitution is over. The man is freed, temporarily at least, from all the reaction of the attractive pull of physical matter. He stands in his subtle bodies, ready for the great act to which I have given the name, the Art of Elimination. The Integrity of the Inner Man. One thought emerges as we conclude this inadequate consideration of the death of the physical body in its two aspects. That thought is the integrity of the inner man. He remains himself. He is untouched and untrammeled. He is a free agent as far as the physical plane is concerned, and is responsive now to only three disposing factors. 1. The quality of his astro-emotional equipment. 2. The mental condition in which he habitually lives. 3. The voice of the soul, often unfamiliar but sometimes well-known and loved. Individuality is not lost. The same person is still present upon the planet. Only that has disappeared which was an integral part of the tangible appearance of our planet. That which has been loved or hated, which has been useful to humanity or a liability, which has served the race or been an ineffectual member of it, still persists, is still in touch with the qualitative and mental processes of existence, and will forever remain individual, qualified by ray type, part of the kingdom of souls, and a high initiate in his own right. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 4, Esoteric Healing, pages 472 through 478. 2. The process of death is occultly as follows. A. The first stage is the withdrawal of the life force in the etheric vehicle from the dense physical body, and the consequent falling into corruption and becoming scattered to the elements. Objective man fades out and is no more seen by the physical eye, though still in his etheric body. When etheric vision is developed, the thought of death will assume very different proportions. When a man can be seen functioning in his etheric physical body by a majority of the race, the dropping of the dense body will be considered just a release. B. The second stage is the withdrawal of the life force from the etheric body and its devitalization. C. The third stage is the withdrawal of the life force from the astral or emotional form, so that it disintegrates in a similar manner, and the life is centralized elsewhere. It has gained an increase of vitality through physical plane existence and added color through emotional experience. D. The final stage for the human being is its withdrawal from the mental vehicle. The life forces after this fourfold abstraction are centralized entirely in the soul. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 4, Esoteric Healing, pages 414 through 415. And from A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, pages 735 through 737.